Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Hey, we are live in Boston. This is not a fake background. This is the real cityscape. It's amazing. And I think this is our first in-person podcast.
Ever podcast.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So basically, Katie and I are in Boston. This is where her office is, Wigan and Dana. And we just had a fantastic live event. So we're going to give you the play-by-play of that. And we're going to talk about IP. We're going to talk about AI. But just to set the stage, Boston... I learned Boston College is different than Boston University.
That's right.
Yeah. And the event was at Boston University.
That is correct.
And it was called the Book Thinkers. And I got invited to be a sponsor. And I kind of looked at who was going to be there and what the venue was. And it all just fit together. But a major industry icon was there, Stephen Pressfield. And you didn't know a ton about him.
I didn't. Yeah. And I was very fortunate to speak with him, and I picked up a copy of his book
that I can't wait to read too. And you liked about his talk the concept of how professionals always show up, like even if they don't feel like it.
Right. Because I think that's something missing today is that it's very easy to come up with an excuse and be an amateur, as he describes it, to say, well, I'm tired, I'm not going to do it, or, oh, I had this interruption, so now my day is just derailed and I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to, you know, cancel things last minute and not be committed, but it's kind of those people who keep showing up regardless of the adversity they're facing.
Absolutely.
They're the ones who really take off majorly.
Yeah, and he even said, I'm at this event and I'm going to leave the event so I can go home and write, because he said going to conferences is giving in to the resistance.
Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
When I noticed he did leave all afternoon and then he came back
for the book signing.
Yeah.
So he's 81 or 82. That was amazing because he looks super sharp, fit, the whole thing. But he does. He really talks to writers, and he says, look, if you write only when you feel like it, you're not going to be a writer. And so I know we have a lot of authors, entrepreneurs who listen to this. By the way, thank you. If you are enjoying it, please rate and review it and share it, because we want to get this word out. We are totally passionate about having authors and entrepreneurs protect their IP. But he basically shares that, one of his books is called Turning Pro, and then the other one is The War of Art. Not The Art of War, but he switched the title, The War of Art, and how R, resistance, capital R, is what shows up the moment you are going to create something or step into your best self. Like, it's the resistance. Did you kind of like ever hear about that, or it really came clear yesterday?
It really came clear yesterday. I mean, I think we've all thought about distractions, especially with our phones these days.
Sure.
It's very easy to get distracted and you're getting pinged multiple times a day. But I think this idea of the resistance and how it comes into your life when you need to focus, I think that's an interesting concept. And it kind of, it makes you think about, well, how can I really reduce my distractions and focus on what I need to get done right away?
And that fits right into this conversation of how I would call AI stealing your IP, or even other people. Remember when I asked the crowd, I said, how many of you have ever had your IP stolen? And I mean, there was stories even last night, that lawyer name, or remember Fred?
Yep.
Fred the dentist. He said, look, I was sitting in a workshop, and the guy's literally teaching my content back to me that he stole.
Right. Yes.
And so what's going to happen, I've seen this to be true, is that if you have IP theft happen to you, it can show up as the resistance. And that becomes your excuse for not completing your next thing, and you start getting sidelined and distracted. So I think that it's almost like a real theft of your property.
Yes, you know, it is.
It disrupts this peaceful home. And now you're thinking like, well, are they going to come back? Is my locks going to work? What about the jewelry? Should I hide it? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. And I just think too, we can all come up with a million excuses, right? And I think especially with IP, maybe you're putting it off because you don't know how to protect it. Mm-hmm. Or you don't know where to start, even where to even protect first, or what real value it might add. But I think if you really do kind of an audit, and, you know, even Carrie, we were talking about this the other day for a roadmap for next year, right? And kind of, you have to kind of just get it out there.
Yep.
And then you can, you know, eat the elephant one chunk at a time. Yeah. It doesn't need to all be done at once, but I think you have to kind of start somewhere.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. We had a extensive chat on instant IP. What's the next steps? 2026. And I have Evan Ryan from Teammate AI doing a product roadmap. And then I have you and I doing a IP roadmap. And the two actually do fit, and you need it, because otherwise you're just going from issue to issue and you're not having a strategic plan. So it is fun. I think that I think a company, any viewers who are seeing this now, I think they would have a ton of success and wins by just mapping out, yeah, what is our IP strategy? And some of it's just, what do we have worth protecting?
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the book we talk about the Rembrandts in the attic. Like, if you don't know what's in the attic, you can't even have a plan, like a growth plan.
That's right.
You know?
Well, and I think too, you have to think about, what is my goal for my business for next year?
Yeah.
Right? And not even just next year, but maybe the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. What's my long-term strategy here?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I position the IP and start to get things in place, knowing that the IP process
can take time,
yeah, right? And so we're value building over time.
That's right.
And asset building over time. And so it's an ever evolving process.
I like that. So when I went on stage, it was very exciting because, you know, I've spoken at different places for sure, but to be followed up, I literally followed up Stephen Pressfield, and it was the second session, and they asked me what music I wanted, like, before I started the conference, and I said Creed, and I come out to Creed playing, and Stephen Pressfield's in the front row. And then I thought, I'm gonna take a challenge here. I'm gonna go all out, because I had a short time. It's very short. And I basically mentioned how AI was stealing people's stuff. And I didn't tell you this, I don't think, but on a break after, a gentleman, Jonas, actually said, I totally got that AI pin thing, because he was pitching to somebody the other day and the lady's wearing glasses. And he started looking at it, and they were the AI recording glasses.
That's so creepy.
And he said, I'm going to, because he's like, it felt awkward.
Right.
And he said, in my gut, I knew she was basically trying to get all the value from our talk. And then she wasn't even going to, hire me. So he said, I'm going to kindly ask you to remove those, because I don't feel comfortable, you know, sharing this information, IP. And eventually she agreed. But then, followed up with, I need a proposal. And then he sent a very light proposal on purpose, because he knew she was just going to scrape everything. Like,
right.
And so then he sent a very light thing, and she came back and said, why is it so, you know? And I told him, I said, I really feel like we're 6 months from now, where, yeah, I think the moment AI devices are adopted, it's going to be like mobile phones, where everyone's going to have some device where it's just like, well, it's easier. You know, we're forgetful. So we just need to record everything 24/7. And then the IP conversation is what's preventing you from taking everything in that conversation and stealing it, making your own, or, you know, intentional or unintentional.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. When I think too, it's going to get very interesting to see the legality of these devices, because in a lot of states, you need two-party consent to record somebody. You can't just record them without their knowledge or consent. And so I'd be curious to see how this plays out if people start recording everything and they have all these
devices.
Conversations recording it nonstop.
Well, this morning I was on X and I saw that a gentleman giving a 90-second tutorial on how to December 16th train. You need to go like five steps deep in your Facebook and Instagram to opt out of them automatically taking everything that you have as DMs, chats, posts, and training their AI.
That's crazy.
Like, this is the default.
That's really deep.
Starting December 16th. So he took us, I'm probably gonna do a video on it soon, but he took us like into five clicks you had to go and then opt out of it being automatic.
That's wild.
I know. So then I took a risk and I thought, I'm gonna go for it. And I showed the crowd on the two platforms where I typed in Stephen Pressfield's name. And I said, are we going to find that his stuff's been stolen by AI? What did you think when I started doing that?
I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of results came back.
I think we said 66, it was seven pages of his books that AI had literally stolen.
Right.
And I'm thinking, again, no judgment to him, but I'm thinking, if that's me, and you saw, I got a little angry at AI, like on stage, I'm like, you know, this ticks me off, because here's an icon who's fought the resistance for decades. And remember, he shared that his first book didn't come out till like 52.
Yeah, when he was 52 years old, he was struggling writer.
Yeah, yeah.
For most of his life.
So think about that, folks. He spent, I mean, some of you aren't even 52, and he spent 30 years of his later life creating and facing the resistance, only to have AI say, I'm going to take it all. And so I don't know what the crowd thought, but it did kind of, I think it made everyone realize this is pretty big.
Right.
You were in the audience. What do you think all these writers were?
I think they were shocked, because I think they heard about this happening, but I don't think they necessarily believed that it would impact them.
Yeah.
You think, oh, okay, it stole like one piece of work, right? But when you saw the vast quantity of his works
that have been turned into movies with Matt Damon and Will Smith.
Right. I think it really was unsettling for a lot of people. And I think it'll really jumpstart their strategies around IP because of that.
Yeah, I'm going to do a newsletter on that. But it is, it's something you can either complain and play the victim card. Blame is, you know, victim is BED, blame, excuses, denial, lay in bed. Or you can be a victor. I tell my college students this OAR, ownership, accountability, and responsibility. And that's really the crux right now, is are you going to just stop creating? Because there are those people who are thinking, I mean, I'd be thinking that, you know, if I'm writing and I'm thinking, well, AI is going to steal this anyway. It kind of just sucks the
motivation right out of you.
Yeah. So it was a room full of writers, and I wanted to emphasize that. And then I basically demoed for my final minutes Instant IP. And you being my lawyer, I'm interested in your perspective, because you saw a public demo of it. And I know you've been with me for years, but how was that? Was that satisfying? It had to be satisfying for you to be I mean, because I don't think it would be where it is without you. So when you saw people, I set it up interesting. I set it up like, here's the enemy AI, and you know, what are we doing? And then, okay, we can do patents, trademarks, copyrights, which are great, but a lot of time and money. And you know, some of the people in the room are starving artists.
Right, right.
I mean, you kind of got that vibe that some are brands making new. So if they're looking at this big mountain of IP that they need to do, it can get daunting. And then they're just trying to get their first book out. So you saw them then try the Instant IP app. What was your kind of thoughts as this?
I think they really were surprised at how quick it was. Mm. And I think they were very intrigued about how they could implement this mm-hmm. in their companies, because a lot of them maybe have some knowledge and experience with copyrights, mm. but I think a lot of that their publisher handles for them. Mm.
Yeah.
So they know they need to have the IP,
mm-hmm.
but to have this offering of a different type of IP and one that they could do it themselves,
right.
I think it was very much a aha moment
yeah.
for them.
Yeah. And I showed you the channel where we gave everybody in the room a free smart contract to try it. And that's true for the podcast listeners too, instantip.app. And you saw people protect things pretty much throughout the day. And I just think it's, it gets them in the game. And then we met a few people that had trademarked things, which is super smart for their top brands. So I think it is. I think it's not as hard as people think. If in the words of Dan Sullivan, if you have the right who.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you, I think too, it just lends back to how you frame up the IP culture
mm.
at your company. Because if you are really trying to build an IP forward company,
mm-hmm.
you're going to kind of integrate this into your hygiene.
Yes.
And have that who,
yes.
who can off, you know, offload and handle a lot of it for you.
Absolutely. And I'm going to bring up that graph from our book, but you'll see here in a second that here it is. And you mentioned the exact word I was thinking about, the normalize, the hygiene. So again, folks, the book is fantastic. Visualize. You first have to see it. Then you organize. You create systems. You normalize it. That could be like with employee onboarding.
Yep. Employment agreements.
Employment agreements,
right?
Yep.
That the company owns the IP.
Yep. Work for hire stuff, right? And then specialize it. Like, who are you going to be in the marketplace? As Chad Jenkins says, name the baby. You verbalize it. You describe it. You digitize it. That's the protection. And then you start monetizing it. You become a maximizer. You know, this is what we were doing the other night. Competitors, clients, and collaborators.
Yep.
Right? That's very important. And then you can go evangelize. So that's pretty much where I'm at probably right now, is in the maximize and evangelize. And then you really want to go to global and then optimize. So it's funny how we wrote this book a year ago, and I literally had to go through all these steps myself, form an IP holding company.
Yeah. License it.
Your
operating entities.
That's crazy. And then now I think I'm at 9 and 10, and we'll keep taking people on the journey. So whatever step you're at, folks, I guess we'll close with this on this episode. The last thing was, remember when Jill had me repeat that one
line?
The one line, yeah. You don't protect your IP when you're big. You become big by protecting your IP. And I think she responded because, yeah, we do think the big influencer of the world, that's their game, the rich woman's game, the rich man's game, but it really has to be everybody's game. Otherwise, they won't be in the game. What do you think?
Exactly. And I think the way you teed it up yesterday when you started you said Taylor Swift, everybody thinks she's an artist.
Yeah.
And that is how we see her. But when you do a little bit of investigating, you realize she is also an IP company.
Yep.
And she has taken a lot of steps to protect all of her intellectual property and position herself so that other people, other artists, let's say, can't go have an Eras tour, right?
Yeah.
Or they can't use her song names.
Right.
You know?
Even her cat's names.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even her name, too.
Yeah.
So she's been very strategic in thinking through the business aspects of what she's building too.
That's right. So folks, get in the game. Otherwise, you'll be like Stephen Pressfield decades later and see your whole life's work being used by AI. And I talked with his wife after, and we may have a follow-up conversation because she obviously cares about him and he cares about his work. So, I mean, when you pass on from this earth, your IP lives on. I mean, we see this all the time. Like, in a Michael Jackson thing was in the headlines recently, but I mean, you see this all the time. Maybe that's a future episode that we can talk about, is how your IP will outlive you.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool. Okay. All right, folks, go make it happen. And thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.